one, two, three. This is Dr. Alex Avila with Love University, and we're back. I'm an author, psychologist, and speaker. Every week we talk about how to love ourselves, others, and a higher nature, how to improve our relationships, our spirituality, or health. We've been at the Miami Book Festival, and we're winding down, having a great time with authors and fans and readers. And we have a very interesting guest right now, Mr. Pablo Zaragoza. He is a medical doctor, former medical doctor, with a degree from the University of Florida. He worked as a chief medical officer in the most notorious prison in Florida, but he lost his wife and kids in a divorce as a result of the difficulties of working there. Then he changed his life. He became a novelist with his new wife, and they've written 21 novels together. He's won the Latino Book Awards and other awards. Welcome, Pablo, to the show.
Well, welcome. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Now, you have interesting books here. Now, you've written 21. I have one here that's kind of, looks kind of dark and kind of heavy. It says, Armageddon, an Apache story.
Well.
Now, you're telling me this is about kind of a devil or demon. What's going on here, Pablo?
All right. This is a demon who wants to leave hell.
Ah, wants to leave hell.
Wants to leave hell.
Yes.
And there's only one way to leave hell, and that is to be redeemed. But unfortunately, devils, demons can't find redemption, but he finds a loophole.
Yes.
If he invades the well of the soul, when Daniel brings the soul into a young person's life,
yes,
it's in the well of the soul, but there's a fraction of a second where there's nothing there. He wants to invade at that second, at that particular moment, so that he can find redemption.
Interesting, okay. So, kind of a spoiler alert, does he find redemption at the end or not?
No.
Oh, he doesn't. Okay.
No, because in possessing these people, he creates all kinds of havoc.
Ah, okay.
And so he's not repentant.
Ah.
And you have to have repentance to be able to be redeemed.
That makes sense. Now, it sounds like a little bit of an anti-hero. Do you kind of root for him a little bit, or is he more of a...
people he possesses, you root for.
Because I see. Those people.
Those people, because these people struggle with the fact that they're doing some very horrific things. And yet, you know, inside they're looking outside and they can do nothing about it.
Interesting. You know, the idea of psychological possession is something that we hear about, where people get infiltrated by negative energies or forces sometimes, and they do bad things.
Yeah.
Now, have you seen that in your life? Have you ever been possessed in that way?
No, but I have seen inmates.
Yes, you worked in the prison system.
In the prison system, inmates who believe that they're possessed.
Ah, okay. And that's why they did the murders or the crimes they did.
Right. I had one inmate tell me that a particular demon was running through his veins and he needed to cut his veins to get them out.
Interesting.
And of course, we had to restrain him.
Okay. So that can be a little schizophrenia, loss of touch with reality.
Absolutely.
But sometimes people get, you know, like an addicted person may feel possessed by the addiction. For example, the drug takes over their life. So how do you find that in that sense?
Well, we find that when I was working in the county jail, very common. They would see little green men, things. They had no control over their body functions.
Yes.
And so these folks believed that something was going on inside of them they had no control over.
Right. I don't mean in a spiritual sense, Bob, I'm talking about psychologically, that something takes over, like a thought.
Right.
I got to have this drug. I got to have this money. I got to have this thing.
Sure.
It could be an obsession or, you know, you can even a possession is that it takes you over.
Right.
So that's what we're talking about.
Right. So, we've seen that as well. You know, people who, I had one fella who was put in his trunk of his car, someone that he was ordered to murder.
Ordered to murder, like a Buffy hit or something?
Right. Well, it was for the Latin Kings.
Ah, okay.
And I asked him, well, why did you do this? Because he's an 18-year-old boy.
Yes.
And he says, well, I was going out with the chief's daughter, and to be able to make her my own, I had to do this.
Okay. So he was compelled to do it by the honor of, or the code of this organization.
Right. And then I asked him the very poignant question, well, what, have they come to visit you? Has she come to visit you?
Okay.
And he said, no.
Yeah, what happened to your girlfriend, right? Your love.
Yeah, he said, no.
Okay.
Did the chief send you every month a little money to be able to cover your commissary cost? And he said, no.
Okay.
And I said, then, son, you were taken for a ride. And he said, Doc, you're right. I was.
Okay. Sounds like you're a little bit of a therapist in some way to these inmates. Did you talk to them a little bit? You have to be. Yes.
Because if not, you lose them because they want to run a game on you to get advantages, toothpaste, facial cream, whatever. And so you have to understand when it's real and when it's fake.
Interesting.
And you have to be able to go into their minds and work them. to see where they're coming from.
Exactly. Now, Pedro, do you actually believe in evil? Are there people that are really evil, or do you feel that they can be redeemed? I'm talking about humans now.
Humans. I believe everyone can be redeemed.
Even like Charles Manson or, you know,
Charlie's an extreme case, man. You gotta have a lot of love to love Charlie.
Okay, there are a lot of killers, whatever people.
Look, I had the pleasure, quote unquote.
Ted Bundy or no?
No, Eileen Wuornos.
Wuornos
was the lady that was picking up gentlemen on I-95 and murdering them, taking their possessions.
Wait a minute, there was a movie called Monster.
Yeah.
Was that Charlie Theron?
Yeah, the Charlie Theron character.
Okay. Oh, so she was a Latina then?
Huh? No, she wasn't Latina. She was an American, dirty blonde.
Okay.
I tell you.
Wow. So the real monster you saw?
I saw the real monster. In the movie. It's nothing like Charlie Theron's character.
Really? Oh,
she was much more, much darker.
Wow.
Much more evil.
Devilish, wow.
Devilish. She would do things and put her hand, she would do all kinds of bizarre things.
Wow.
That you would feel.
So how did you know her? Like, were you her medical doctor?
Oh, yeah. Well, we could go up to the window. She did not want to have any man talk to her or touch her. It had to be a female.
Okay.
And so she would only be let touch by our nursing staff.
Well, according to the movie, she hated men who had abused her. She had a hate.
She hated all men.
Really?
There was no distinction.
Okay.
There were times that you have to go and check them to make sure that they hadn't done anything to themselves. And she would come up to the window and say all kinds of horrific things to you.
Wow, interesting. So if you had her in your life, how would you deal with her?
Well, with a lot of patience and a lot of
compassion.
You have to have some compassion.
Right.
You cannot be in the medical profession and not have compassion.
Right.
But, with a grain of salt, everything. And making sure that she's well chained up.
Okay. So you don't want to marry her, that kind of woman.
No, definitely not. No.
Interesting. All right. So so evil and good, I guess, is an important part of your story.
Yes.
In Armageddon, and apparently, I guess good does triumph at the end.
Right.
Is what you're saying. And these people that were taken over by the demon could break free from it.
Yes. Yes.
And that's nice. I mean, if we can see our world as people that can do that as well, people that are taken over by depression, anxiety,
right?
Obsessive compulsive disorder, things like that.
Absolutely.
They can be almost like psychological possessions.
Right.
So you feel there is a way to liberate them.
Sure.
What is the secret as a medical doctor to liberate them?
Medical doctor, it's a twofold approach: the psychology, or what I call talk therapy.
Yes.
And sometimes medication. Not always, but sometimes.
Sometimes.
Sometimes it's necessary, but talk therapy more so than anything else.
But you personally, what little tip can you give these people that are caught up in some weird addiction or even a psychological idea?
Yeah.
What could you do to help them?
Well, I think that they need to go to a licensed person who is...
True, but I'm saying just in a personal way, like practically speaking.
Oh,
let's say my life is terrible. People hate me.
No.
What do you say?
You have to listen to them. You have to listen.
Right.
Because they're hurting inside. There's a hurt.
Yes.
And they need to find out what really the triggers that hurt. Once they understand that hurt, then you can kind of guide them as to how to overcome it.
So it's called like empathetic listening. You listen without judging.
Without judging.
And that's the important part. You seem like a very compassionate medical doctor. I thought most of you guys are scientific and more logical.
Yeah. No. What they teach in medical school is to put a distance between you and the patient so that you don't get psychological damage.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
Unfortunately, that's very difficult.
But are you a feeling kind of guy? Are you emotional?
Yeah.
So you're what we call a feeler in the personality types.
Right.
The Myers-Briggs.
Yeah.
So sometimes you get attached to people, right?
Sure.
And that could be an issue, sometimes.
Attachment happens a lot, especially with nurses.
Yes.
They become very attached to these individuals. In fact, and these individuals know they're attached
sometimes
and
they take
advantage of it.
I've heard of nurses actually break them out of jail, too.
Break them out of jail, marry them, support them.
Wow.
I've had nurses that I've had to fire because they
had sex with them, maybe, right?
They were sexually active with them.
Wow.
I had one girl that was on camera. We had her on camera. Yeah. We had to take her in and talk to her. And he said, look, we have to fire you because, you're on camera.
Exactly. Yeah, it's kind of crazy. People get in strange situations when they let their emotions guide them in a negative way.
Right.
So, but you talk about the other side of it. Now, you also have a funny one here called Casa de Nova.
Yeah.
Which is kind of like, I guess, a con artist who cons ladies out of money.
Yeah.
But for a good cause.
Right. It's a Robin Hood story.
So kind of anti-hero.
Right.
Tell us about this one.
Well, Casi de Nova. Casi is an individual who has always been the butt of ridicule in his community.
So kind of a Casanova, but Casi de Nova.
Casi de Nova.
Okay.
Almost, okay. As in Spanish. Okay. Almost de Nova.
Okay.
His mother, he inherits from his mother a little failing restaurant, and he's just frustrated. He can't make, you know, he can't make pay the bills. He has people that depend on him that he can't pay. And so he gets the bright idea of going on the internet and enticing ladies to send him money, essentially. But he's a pot-bellied, balding fellow.
Okay.
And he's not very attractive to look at.
Okay. Now, Pablo, you never did this, did you?
No. No. No.
Well, it's not based on a true story.
No, it's not based on a true story.
Okay.
And so he's hired this one of the waiters who is extremely gay.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but he's very nice, look very handsome, oh, okay. Individual.
To be the face of the
face of this thing.
It's like a very funny movie. And then at the end, without spoiling it, does he get in jail or no?
No, he doesn't get to jail. But the ladies do come in to confront him.
Oh, okay.
They're all at the same time.
Oh, wow.
One's a mafia princess.
Wow.
The other one is a prison guard.
Okay.
One is an ex-nurse. And then there's a lady who's a Wall Street type. And they all come into this village at the same time.
Wow.
But the money that they've given him has been put to good use, not only to improve his restaurant,
okay,
but also the community.
Wow, interesting. So you're like a Don Quixote Casanova.
Don Quixote or Robin Hood.
Robin Hood, right. Because Don Quixote thought he was more than he was, but he lived the fantasy.
Yeah.
But he was a good-hearted person.
Yes.
Is this guy kind of good-hearted?
He's very good-hearted. Okay. He loves his community, and he's very deeply torn by the fact that the government has not...
Right.
Improve the lives of these people.
Definitely.
The streets are not paved.
Uh-huh.
There's no education.
Okay.
In fact, there's a scene in the book where he goes to the high school he went to,
right,
and there are no students in there.
Okay.
Just drunks. And the principal comes out,
right,
and asks him, what's going on here? He asks him, what's going on here? And he says, we're not funded anymore.
Exactly. Sounds good. Well, you probably have a lot of wonderful books here, very interesting, and it seems like you're going from darkness to light, you know, from hate to love.
Yep.
And you kind of have a humanity in what you're doing, I think.
Yes.
And you're very human, I think. And that's a beautiful thing. So you're really giving a lot of hope to people. I'm sure it's entertaining.
Oh, yeah.
It's fun. So what's your mission in life now, Pablo? I mean, I know you're retired, kind of. What do you want to do in the rest of your life?
Write.
Okay, write.
I want to write. Me and Susie have a life which is very simple. And we just intend to enjoy as much as we can. But at the same time, being engaged.
Right. Keep your mind active and help people.
Right. You know, we'd like to be able to find a publishing house that'll take us over,
yes,
or find a literary agent who'd like to be, sure, like to take us over.
Right.
But if we have to just, you know, self-publish on Amazon, we can do that too.
Okay. Where can people learn more about you?
We're at writedoctors.com.
Okay, write, how do you spell that?
That's WRITE doctors, DOCTOR.com.
Perfect. And you have all your books on there, all the stuff.
Books
they
are on there, okay, and your links are on there as well.
Right.
And if not, you can always call me or Susie.
Perfect. I like that. Bob, it's been a pleasure having you on the show. You're a wonderful guy.
Take
care.
We'll
have you on again.
Thank you. Anytime.
Until next time, it's Love University. So, Love University students, if you have any questions, you can email us at loveuniversitylove@gmail.com, 310-226-8090. Visit us at loveuniversity.love. Like us on Facebook at Love University Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Love Letter U Podcast. Until next time, Love University students, put away your notepads, your books, your iPads, and this is Dr. Alex Avila.